probably the most pleasing thing to any pastor or minister is having a committed congregation. Now, there's a lot of debate going on today about what really is a committed congregation and what describes a committed congregation. And as we read in the 8th chapter of Nehemiah here, we find just that, a committed congregation. Now, some people will say, well, this is Old Testament, this is history. We are in New Testament times. We're living in an age of grace. Well, if you look in the New Testament, when the early church came together in Acts, it pretty much describes the same thing. They were all together in one place, celebrating and sharing what God had given them as a community, as a committed congregation. In our story from Nehemiah, we have to remember that the people came back from a captivity in Babylon, and it came to the point where they had rebuilt the walls of the city of Jerusalem, and they had gathered together in the square of the Watergate, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the people, and he got up on an elevated platform. The people wanted to hear the law. Remember, they were directionless people. They had come back from captivity. They needed direction. They needed guidance. And the first place they went was God's Word. Ezra stood up and he read the book of the law for 6 hours, from daybreak until noon. The people listened attentively to the book of the law. And many of those that were there that were appointed to do so went out amongst the people translating what was being read, giving the people clarity so that they understood what God's law and God's Word really said. And the people were weeping. They were grieved because they had realized that they had broken God's law. When they really understood God's law, they realized they had broken it. They realized that it was their own fault that they had gone into captivity. And now they were mourning. And Ezra and the Levites calmed the people and said, no, no, don't mourn. Don't grieve. This is a day of new beginnings. This is a day to rejoice. Although you had turned away from the Lord, let's turn back to Him now. Let's rejoice. Let's go out and celebrate with great joy. And they did so, it says, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. So sometime in the afternoon on that first day, the congregation dispersed to go out to celebrate and to share their food among each other. It tells us now on the second day of the month. Now, this was actually not the actual second day of the month. It was the second day of their new year that they were celebrating, their civil new year. On the second day, the heads of the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra, the scribe, to give attention to the words of the law. So on the second day now, just simply the heads of the families came out and gathered to listen again to the word of the law, as Ezra would read it. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns in Jerusalem. And that word was, go out into the hill country, bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees, from myrtles, palms, and shade trees to make booths, as it is written. Now, what was being talked about here was what was known as the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Festival of Booths, or the Festival of Tabernacles. This was a celebration that was to be observed once a year in the Jewish community. It lasted 7 days long, and what it was a remembrance of God's deliverance of the people living in their booths, their huts, during their wilderness wanderings. God said, I want you to remember that you had to live in those little shelters, those little shacks, those little huts for all those years, but that I did deliver you like I said I would do. And it was also a time when they came together and every day they offered up sin offerings, grain offerings, offerings to the Lord for forgiveness of their sins, because that was the law of the time. So they went out and they brought back branches. They built themselves booths on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. They all got together and they built their booths and celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, offered up the sacrifices and the offerings, and remembered that God had delivered their people before them, that God had delivered them now from captivity in Babylon, and to celebrate. And you see, these people were committed to the law of the Lord. They were committed to reading it every day, and they were obedient to it, presenting their offerings, and their grieving turned to joy. The King James Version says there was very great gladness. That word gladness coming from a Hebrew word, blithesomeness, which simply means they were cheerful. So they went from grieving to being cheerful. And it tells us that from the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, which was a little less than 1,000 years, for almost 1,000 years, the Israelites had not celebrated this festival like they were celebrating it now. They were really celebrating. And their joy was very great. What was it? It was a great revival. A great revival. The congregation came together and was transformed because of the reading of the Word of God, remembering what God had already done, and the realization of God's salvation, again rescuing His people from captivity. Remember back in verse 3, Ezra read from the book, the people listened attentively. In other words, they paid attention and they took it seriously. They took this seriously. They didn't reason with God's word. They didn't say, that meant something to those people back then when the law was written, but it doesn't mean the same to us today. They didn't reason with God's word. That's what got them into trouble in the first place. They thought in the first place, maybe God will let this slide. We'll just bring in a few extra idols. We'll just put up a few extra Asherah poles. We'll just worship a few foreign gods. They thought maybe God would just let this slide. And He did. He let them slide all the way to Babylon for 70 years, didn't He? You can't reason with God's word and make it say what you believe and what you want it to say. What we do with God's Word is we mine the truths from it so we can live lives pleasing to God. When a congregation listens attentively to and takes God's Word seriously, they too will be transformed as a congregation and their joy will be great. That's the reason we come to worship this morning. Because we're joyful, we're cheerful, we celebrate because we remember the state that we were in, that God delivered us from that state and forgave us. And we have an even greater witness of this truth today because we are on the other side of the cross. We're on the other side of Calvary. How many times does God's Word tell us that God saved His people? Every time God's people turned from Him or were in trouble and turned back to Him and cried out to Him, every time He saved them. And it was every time that they took Him seriously and believed Him and turned back to Him. You see, in His Word, we come to a realization that we've broken God's laws. That's what happened with these people. We've come to the realization that we've broken God's laws and we're condemned to die because we're sinners. But also in here, we realize that it's the same God that we're dealing with today. And we'll remember that He's a God who rescues His people. And His Word says to all who received God's Son, to those who believed in His name, God gave them the right to become His children. Now let me ask you this morning, will God let His children die? No. His Word says we have eternal life in His Son. He may allow us to go into captivity for a while, but He rescues His children. That's what it teaches us. A committed congregation is a congregation that's uplifted by the Word of God, that lifts the Word of God up. A congregation that mourns and grieves over their sin, but also remembers God's deliverance and rejoices in celebration. Every day of our lives should be a celebration of our deliverance in Jesus Christ. The Bible takes us the full circle from the fact that we are sinners, we've broken God's law, through the dark valley that we deserve death, to the light on the other side that God has promised salvation and to rescue His people if we turn to Him. And finally, celebration. It's all in here. God's people, time after time after time, are rescued. We cannot reason with this. It's the truth. It says what it says, and it says that a committed congregation is a congregation that lifts the Word of God up, that mourns and grieves over their sin, remembers God's deliverance, and rejoices in celebration. The question is, are you one of His children? We say, well, how do we know? Can we know for sure? Some say we can't know for sure. John, the one whom Jesus loved, who knew Jesus personally, wrote in his gospel that he came to his own, but his own didn't believe in him. And he says, yet to those who believed in him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Secondly, John in his letters writes, it's the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And the witness of God is greater than the witness of man. In other words, what God tells us is greater than what we reason or think. And that He has borne the witness concerning His Son. That the one who believes in the Son of God, the witness is that's born in us, is the one who believes in the Son of God has that witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar. And the witness is this. God has given us eternal life, and His life is in His Son. In other words, God has rescued us from our sinful state and promised us eternal life through His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. John writes, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. It can't be any plainer than that. It cannot be any plainer than that. And here was a congregation who was committed to believing the Word of God. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God, and they celebrated the feast for 7 days. And on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. And if you know any more about this feast, they rested. The people gathered together. They remembered God's deliverance. They rejoiced in their forgiveness through the sacrifices. And now they were in a new relationship with God, in a new start, rejoicing. We join together, folks, as a congregation to remember God's deliverance in Jesus Christ, our sacrifice once for all, and to hear His Word read and explained. You know, I often tell people that they need to be more like the Bereans. If you know anything about the Bereans, Paul on his mission trips was going around telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a lot of them didn't believe him. So you know what they do? They did. The Bereans checked out what he was saying. They looked into the scriptures to see if what he was saying was the truth. And they found out that it was. Dig in. Look it up. Search it out.
You'll find the same God who delivered the people from exile for 70 years is the same God who delivers us today from our sinful state. If we just trust in Him, believe Him, believe in His Word, and believe in His Son. Today is a day to celebrate with joy God's deliverance of you and I in Jesus Christ.